Access number 28676, Mr. Jack Ball, Reel 2. Now, after your, just basic medical at Uxbridge, you were sent to number 9 recruitment centre at Blackpool in the back end of November 1940 for a couple of months till early January 41. Now, what do you remember about this? I mean, was the journey up there of any import, or what happened?
I can't remember the journey, quite frankly. What happened there was we were put through it as far as the local people were concerned to marching backwards and forwards, and I think every week we marched to the local Derby Baths and for a swim and a shower.
Where were you billeted? I mean, were you in billet or
I was billeted in a quite a smart hotel on the South Shore. There were two other fellows there, just joined the RAF. One was off the farm, I think, and the other one was a very smooth type. And there were several Polish officers there who were had been chased out of Romania and come through Paris, etc.
Did you have your own room, or were you sharing with a couple of others?
I think I had my own room. Yeah.
And what were conditions like? It was living conditions.
Well, they were good. It was food was short. Food was short. I think our rations were being diverted because we were still on the RAF strength, but we ate the hotel meals such as they were, but I found they weren't very filling.
So you thought they'd siphoned a bit off?
I suspect they'd siphoned a bit off. The proprietor was a bit of a miserable bloke, and the proprietress was similar.
They didn't make it particularly welcome then?
No, I think they were were a bit upset about us being billeted there, because they later in my time there, they had all the refugees from Liverpool bombing. They'd taken refuge in Blackpool, and they didn't appreciate our presence, I don't think.
What about your uniform? Had you been given a uniform?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Was that at Blackpool?
We were marching around in uniform.
Now, what did they issue you with as a new trainee?
Complete uniform, greatcoat, hat, gloves. I remember the black leather gloves, which I used to wear. I think they gave you 3 shirts and underwear, etc.
Any other kit?
Yes, we had webbing and mess tins and that sort of thing. The full kit.
Did it fit? Or could you get it altered?
I wasn't aware that you could get it altered. It fitted, basically. Yeah, sure.
Now, what about a typical day's training with them? I know you were only there for a short time. It was a long time ago. What about these drill sessions? How did you take to drill? You'd done army drill or the home guard drill. How did you take to the drill in the RAF?
It was quite okay as far as I was concerned. It was it wasn't particularly interesting. It was just sort of basically square bashing and learning to salute, and it took us to the rifle range, etc.
Did you understand the point of drill at the time? You're only a young lad, but did you know why you had to do it?
Not really, I don't think.
You didn't resent it?
No.
Now, what about rifle? That's presumably learning to shoot, which you'd already done a bit of it. How far did it take you with the rifle shooting?
Oh, fairly basic, I think. I think we had several mornings on the range.
Did it include the bayonet and Lewis gun or Bren gun?
None of that, no. Not that I recall, quite frankly.
So just rifle shooting?
Just rifle.
And any other sorts of training in that couple of months?
It probably did have bayonet training, but as I say, I'm not...
If you don't remember it...
I don't remember it, really.
Any other training there?
Uh, It's confusing because I did a lot of training subsequently. But
yeah. Well, let's. What about in the evenings? I mean, what sort of recreations you lads get up to?
Well, you couldn't afford much, quite frankly. It was a fine place to be if you could afford it, but generally I just went to the cinema or. I used to go to a working men's club, quite frankly. The local working men's club.
What was that like?
It was a good company. And I think they made you welcome.
Did you drink to any extent? Or
not to any extent, no.
So just a social drink?
Yeah, sure.
And what? But you wouldn't go to the pubs? It was more the...
I didn't smoke at all. So
you didn't smoke?
Well. Yeah.
Would you go to pubs themselves or just the working men's club?
Occasionally I went to Yates's Wine Bar, which is the thing up there. But quite frankly, I was more interested in eating. So the United Cattle Products up there used to serve tripe, you know, in every variety you could imagine. So I was quite keen on tripe.
And so you didn't go to dance halls or things? No money?
No, I didn't have any money for that.
Now, what happened? You were there about, a couple of months, aren't you? Until 6th of January.
Yeah.
We're looking at the back of your logbook here. This is where we're getting these dates from. And then you seem to go to Kenley for a month. Now, what's happening there?
I was on ground defence. It was the main gate guard. They had about 120 of us, I think, just guarding the main gate. There were plenty of soldiers there. They were out on the perimeter, I guess. The Irish Guards were there, the Essex Regiment. So it was pretty well guarded.
So they were guarding the airfield and you were on guard duties?
We were just doing the main gate guard.
And what did that entail?
It entailed standing sentry, etc., etc. Particular case I remember was the fella next to me, in the bed next to me, came off guard and, it must have been a third bloke, came off guard and failed to clear his rifle properly, and when he pulled the trigger it went bang, of course, and the bullet split on the bed frame, went through the bed and hit the wall and ricocheted back into a bloke's ear. And I think it was part of the bullet. The bullet had split into several pieces, I think. And he clapped his hand over his ear and the blood started to run through. You know? That was quite a nasty shock to get up to. But the... everything was a bit sparse there. There were no bulbs in the lights and the toilets, and this sort of the evening toilet was a hell of a job.
What sort of, were you in huts or what accommodation did they put you in?
We were in huts, quite solidly built huts. And
but it was more the extra facilities, toilets.
The toilets were some way away, of course, and as I say, they had no bulbs in. Oh, dear, dear. Yeah, the conditions of service were quite good there. It was rough sleeping, of course. Liable would have been woken at any time. And we do also man the... there were some 20mm Oerlikons in gun pits near to where we were.
Now, had you had any training at all on that?
No, I hadn't had any training.
Now, tell me about that, because that's quite difficult. I mean, the Oerlikon's not that complicated, but it's not that simple,
either. Well, it was a much bigger gun than we'd been used to. We never had to fire them in anger, fortunately, or in practice. But they were there, and we were expected to man them.
I mean, did you didn't have any formal... Did they explain how it worked, how to fire it in case?
Yeah, sure, they explained.
But you didn't get a chance to practice it?
Didn't get a chance to practice, no. At that time, of course, the air raids on Kenley were in the past. They'd been quite heavily bombed during the summer, but this was winter. It was a very hard winter, actually. There was a lot of snow on the ground, as I recall. And
now, you weren't there long, just a month, and then you went to Red Hill.
Red Hill. That was an outposting, more or less, and I don't know how long I stayed there, but it was...
Now, that's longer, from the looks of it. That looks 2 months, from February to April.
Yeah. That was quite a reasonable time. The it was an ex-club aerodrome, club flying, so the hangars were full of quite interesting aircraft, as far as I was concerned. Moths and various American types and... they were interesting aircraft anyway. So I used to wander around there on sentry duty, but of course it was at night time. Of course it was pretty dark, and some of the local airmen had contracts with the butchers or something. They were out shooting rabbits, and so you get quite a few shots on the airfield. A bit of rifle fire, anyway. The control tower was deserted, but the hurricanes used to come in fairly regularly to refuel and rearm. They were from Kenley itself. So it was interesting from that point of view, and there were a few logbooks scattered around that obviously been abandoned, and they made quite interesting reading, as far as I was concerned.
Now, you're there, well, a couple of months, so till April.
Yeah, I volunteered for the fire tender.
Now, tell me about that. That's
well, it was... We only had to sort of turn two when it was...
What type of fire tender was it?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember now. It was standard RAF tender, I think.
A modern one, not normal one.
Yeah, well...
Modern for that.
Modern for that. Yeah, there was a... I think we had a... what they called a... they had some name for it. It was a flatbed lorry with a brick enclosure on the back, and this was supposed to be an armoured car, you know. I think they had a few steel sheets over the windows and things, and the idea was you would go and hunt paratroops in it. I wouldn't have given our chances much, quite frankly.
Did you actually go out in this sort of makeshift?
No. It was just there, and I don't even know if it ran, but it was part of our job to jump into this if paratroops were around.
Anything happened while you were at Red Hill?
Not really, no. Yeah, the raids were continuing on London, of course. And we used to see the planes going over, or hear the planes going over.
Now, how were you getting on with your fellow recruits? I mean, what kind of lads were they? How, you know?
Well, they were, at that time, they were all aircrew types, destined for one of the trades or other. I think they all hoped to be pilots, of course.
Were you all from a similar background, you know, socially or educationally, either? Or
apart from the public school boy I've mentioned, as far as I know, he was the only one from that sort of area. The rest were generally more sophisticated than I was, I think. Several of them, anyway.
Make any friendships, good friendships with, I mean...
Yes, I was a good friend of this chappy, as I mentioned, you know. Newport Tinley, Newport-Tinley, his name was. Francis Barnett something or other, Newport Tinley. Yeah, he was a very pleasant bloke, and I got on with him quite well.
There's no bullying in the group from the South?
Oh, no.
Trouble in the
no,
group?
No. There was the odd thing at Red Hill where one or two of the blokes got drunk and came into our room and sort of peed all over your shirt and that sort of thing. But it was an accident. So trouble is you had to go on parade next morning without a shirt.
What about the NCOs? What were they like? I mean, I presume you just had an old NCO, or you didn't have an instructor at that time.
The NCOs at Recruit Centre were not too great.
Why not?
Well, they were delighted in putting you on scrubbing the stairs or something like that, I think, for misdemeanour. But at the... At Red Hill, there I don't remember being talked to by an NCO, quite frankly. There were officers around, and I used to do some link training because time was on your hands a bit, and they had a link trainer there.
Now, tell us, people don't know what that is now. Can you tell us about the trainer, the link trainer?
You climbed into a model aircraft type of thing, and...
Full scale?
Yeah, full scale. Well, it was sort of stubby wings about this. And it was mounted on a gimbal, I suppose, so that it could take any position. And they would feed in rough air, and your course would be carried by a crab on a glass table. It was shown on table. So you could fly a pattern. And... I thought it was very interesting, you know, it was like a big toy from far as I was concerned.
And did it have all the controls you'd have in a cockpit?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. How realistic was it?
Well, when they put the rough air on, you got the same sort of feeling. It was quite realistic, I think.
Did you have to learn, had you been taught what the controls were at this time, or was it just something you were picking up?
No, just picking up.
This was informal?
This was informal, yeah.
Would many of you do that, or were you...
No, I probably only those were interested, I think, and the others were probably not too interested, quite frankly. As I say, I was fairly unsophisticated in those days, and I wasn't worried about girls or that sort of thing, particularly.
How realistic was it? I mean, could you practice landing in it or taking...
No.
It was just in air, flying a course.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, anything else at Red Hill?
There were mainly regular airmen there who'd been chased out of France, quite frankly. And so they had tales of... what life was like in France for a while, and until they got chased out. But they were a very reasonable bunch, I must say. So I got on well with them, yeah.
Now, what happened next then? You seem to go to number 9 RW. I'm not sure what that is.
That was a recruit wing, I think.
That was at Stratford-on-Avon.
Stratford-on-Avon, yes.
So you're just there for... 2 or 3 weeks.
A couple of weeks, I think, yeah.
Now,
sure.
What was that about?
That was more or less a preliminary to the ITW, the initial training wing.
So what were they?
They just put you through cross countries and that sort of thing, and you were... I don't remember. It was so short that I really don't remember much about it, except that I do go to a reunion... there, and I think we're probably in the same hotel, quite frankly, and we used to get marched to church parades, of course, and I remember the Shakespeare church there. They used to say in those days, the sergeant used to say, fall out Roman Catholics and Jews. They would fall out and the rest of us would be divided up into ODs and C of E's. other denominations. After a while, after a few Sundays, I decided to go OD because the services were much shorter and better.
Now, what about the fitness training? I mean, how much fitness? We haven't really talked about fitness training yet, but I mean, cross countries, what sort of PT and physical training did they put you through?
I don't think it was all that much, quite honestly. They relied on the drill to get you fit, I think.
Were you fit already? I mean, you'd done football at school, but a couple of years, you know.
Yeah, a couple of years had gone by, and I probably wasn't particularly fit, quite frankly.
Did you find the cross countries tough? Or?
Yeah, I found them tough. But
how far were they?
Oh, I don't suppose they were very far at all, but I can't recall now.
What about assault courses, things like that?
No, didn't do anything of that.
Now, so after a month, well, actually, just a couple of weeks there, so yeah. As you say, it's not that much. About
when did the ITW?
Now, that's number 6 ITW at Aberystwyth.
Aberystwyth.
And you're there for a couple of months, April to June 1941.
Yeah, that was that was when the training started to get serious, quite frankly, and we had lectures on various aspects of aviation. And
now, what type of... do you see what I mean? What were they trying? What could they teach you on the ground in a lecture?
I don't recall all that much, except that we felt it was getting serious. And
was it just a lecture program, or were they doing anything else?
No, we were drilling as well, but it was sort of run on a public school basis, as I understand it, that. You were divided into messes and or naval bases, really. They would one chappie would be picked to divide the food up, you know, and share it out, etc. We were in the hotel rooms. We were probably 3 or 4 to a room. I met an old school friend there. Who was a year above me at school, so I piled up with him, quite frankly. I think I'd lost touch with Newport Tindley at that stage. He'd been posted elsewhere. It was, as I recall, I was picked for the Arnold draft, which was...
what's that?
Training in the States. And because Hap Arnold, the boss of the American Air Force, or whatever he was, had offered to, or been prevailed upon, to train pilots and etc., navigators, in America, where the weather was kinder, sort of thing, to intensive training. You got sunshine, and whereas in England it was pretty grim sometimes.
Now, you were this is before the Americans were in the war, so this is...
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
So, and you knew about that, did you, or was that just at the time?
I was picked for it, and we were measured for charcoal. Chalk stripe suits, as I recall, and black berets, because we had to travel as civilians to the States. And I was measured for it, but at the last moment I was taken off the draft, and I went to Burniston, I think it was.
Yeah. This is, that was Burniston. This is where it really starts, isn't it? The Burniston's near Derby, and it's number 16 Elementary Flying Training School.
That's right.
And you were there from June 41 to the back end of July 41.
Yeah, that was a very happy time.
Now, what was the setup when you got there at Burniston?
We were billeted in Repton School, as I remember, and we were taken by lorry, I think, every day to the airfield, where we had...
Now, Well, let's do the condition. What was it like being at Repton? Because it's an unusual place to be billeted.
Well, it was a long, low building, as I recall, and we had a bed each, and that was about it. We ate at the aerodrome. The CO there was, I understand, would be the pre-war flying club owner, and there were strong rumours about Plum and Apple Jam. He had all the contracts for these. I don't know how true it was.
So, what happened when you got there? I mean, how did they start? This is where you start your flying training.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, what do they? Is it more ground lectures before you do anything, or do they start flying with you straight
away? They started flying you right away, as I recall.
Now, the first thing they do in June 17th is an air experience flight.
Yeah.
Now, what was that like? That's your first time in the air. Now, you've been so interested in it for several years by this time. What do you remember your first air experience flight in a magister?
Yes.
We're looking at your logbook, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
Now, what was that first flight like? Did it meet with your expectations?
Oh, yes, it was great, I thought, being off the ground and actually flying. And I think I was allotted an instructor there, Warrant Officer Unwin, who was a Battle of Britain chappie. He distinguished himself in the Battle of Britain, and he went on to be, I think, an Air Commodore or something. But he was just a warrant officer when I found him. He was inclined to say, "I've got it wherever you were," and dive after any aircraft that was approaching. he liked to relive the days, I think, and he obviously missed the frontline life. So he was a good bloke. He was very sort of taciturn, I think is the word. Gritty Yorkshireman, you know, and he was fine as far as I was concerned.
Was he a good instructor? I mean,
he was great.
Made him great?
He left it to you, sort of thing, as much as possible. And he sent me solo after 7 hours or something, which I didn't feel ready for. But
take us. What were the dual control flights like with us? So, you know, when you take this is in the Magister.
Yeah.
What's he putting you through? What's the sort of program of that he needs you to learn before you can go solo?
He mainly circuits and bumps.
Now, what are circuits and bumps?
Take off some landings, and just going around the airfield and coming and going into land.
What are the skills? How do you take off? I mean, what do you have to watch out for?
You had to, on the Magister, you had to select your flap. There was a certain amount of flap available. And you had to keep the aircraft straight, of course, which was just a pure grass field. So, you know, you didn't have any runway to stick to. Which would have made it easier, I think. And then you did forced landings, etc.
Hang on, it's taking up. I mean, didn't they tell you not to? I mean, if anything went wrong, not to turn back, things like that.
No, I don't think they told you that.
So it was just a matter of going straight. That's the essence of it.
Sure.
Now, what about landing? What do you have to do to land? What's a good landing? How did they teach you?
Three points. They were tail draggers, these things. And they were good little aircraft. As I say, they had flaps, which was unusual for a light aircraft at that time.
So how would you land? What was the skill?
You would do the circuit, and you would line up, and you would land into wind. Try and make it as smooth as possible.
It's just a matter of judgment, then?
Yeah, it's just a matter of judgment, I think.
Now, what about simple flying skills? He presumably had to teach you.
Well, I just did everything. I tried to do everything he told me. And there are times when you had to do a cross country, fly to some airfield or other. And I used to sneak off now and again to circle my grandmother's cottage in.
That's when you're flying solo. This is dual.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
What about the simple flying skills? I mean, turning, banking.
Yeah, well, he would cover all that, and he would do spins, etc. How to get out of them?
How did you get out of them?
As I remember, you put the nose down, and
that's to gain flying speed, I presume.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And you did something with the rudder, but I can't remember what it is.
Now, what do you think of the Magister? What was the Magister like to fly?
It was a good little aircraft, yeah.
What was good about it? What?
Open cockpits. Well, as I say, they were monoplanes, which was more in keeping with the RAF at the time. The alternative was Tiger Moths or something like that.
Maneuverable?
They were manoeuvrable, yes. You used to do various stall turns and various other manoeuvres that I can't remember.